We are so glad you've joined Baraka Church as Pastor Jonathan Smith continues the series, Redo. Is there a single person among us that has successfully completed every New Year's resolution? We always have good intentions when we make them, and we all know how hard it is to keep them. Today, we reveal the time-tested and proven equation that is guaranteed to change your life.
We are in our third week of our series, Redo, using our past to change our future. Week number one, we talked about how the ultimate redo starts by accepting Jesus, accepting what Jesus did for you on the cross and making him your Lord and Savior. How as we follow Jesus, we'll continue to have next steps. And really, Christianity is taking one step after another. As we follow Jesus, we'll continue to take those next steps. For those of you who have accepted Jesus, your next step is going public for Jesus in baptism. This coming Tuesday, we will have our next going public, our next baptism. 7 individuals are going public. We're excited about that, from age 76 down to age 12 and everywhere in between. And so that will be great. I would encourage you, there are limited amounts of seats that you can sign up for. That is open. You can sign up for that. And if you are not able to get in or not able to come, I would encourage you 6:30 Tuesday evening to watch online as we celebrate with those who are going public. And if you are listening and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior but have never gone public, I would encourage you to take that next step. And you can go to placeofblessing.info/baptism. And sign up for our next one sometime another month or two away. Last week, we talked about in order to change, we have to see it as necessary. We have to take responsibility for ourselves, and we have to live obediently. Today, we are going to look at the key to change. Today really is a part two of last week's message, especially that third point as we look to live obediently. Some of you may be saying, as you have begun this year, yes, I would love a redo in my marriage. Or yes, I need a redo in my finances. I need a redo in my decisions. I need a redo in my life. And today I want to look at the one thing that changes everything. Now, here's the hard part about this message. This message, you will not see results immediately. This message, if you go out and apply it and begin to do it, you're not going to automatically say, wow, that made a huge difference today or this week. It isn't like you can lose 25 pounds in 25 minutes. You can do that by going to a third world country and drinking water. I've seen that happen before. But this isn't like that. This isn't a message where you see immediate results. That's the difficult thing with this message. But if you apply it today and continue to apply it, I promise you, you will see results in a few months or within the year. Those of you who are my age and older know that there are vastly different things now than when we were kids. When I was a kid, we would go out and play in the morning and return home after sun had set. I mean, we'd be out all day. Our parents had no idea what we were doing or where we were at. It was just the way it was. One of the things that we did in the summer was we would be dropped off at the city pool when my parents were on their way to work. And then when they would come home in the evening from work, they would pick us up. We would stay all day at the pool just by ourselves. And every single summer as a kid, I would have to learn the hard way. I would start every single summer getting fried. I mean, burnt. I mean, like bubbles on my shoulders burnt. I mean, really bad. And you say, well, didn't you have sunscreen when you were a kid? Yes, we had sunscreen, for those of you who are wondering. As a matter of fact, my sister would pack sunscreen in her bag, and we would go to the pool, and I would watch other people put on sunscreen. But for some reason, probably because I'm a little hard-headed and just a little bit stubborn, like I didn't put on sunscreen. And for about 5 or 6 summers in a row, I would start the beginning of the summer with 5 or 6 days in excruciating pain because I would not apply sunscreen. The one thing that changes everything, if you're taking notes today, is this: information plus application equals transformation. Information plus application equals transformation. Here's the deal. When I was a kid, having the information was not the problem. Like I knew about sunscreen. I watched other people put on sunscreen. My parents told me about sunscreen. As a matter of fact, my parents would remind me as they would let me out, use your sunscreen today. They would tell me, you've got to continue to put on sunscreen. Even sometimes when I use sunscreen, I would do it in the morning and never do it again. And I would watch as my sister would put sunscreen on every couple hours, and yet I was too busy and didn't do it. My parents had explained it to me. Other people had told me, well, you should have learned your lesson from last year. I mean, I knew the information, but when I actually applied it and continued to reapply it, it changed everything. My sunscreen experience can be your spiritual experience when we apply it to God and His Word. Information about God and His Word plus application of God's Word equals transformation of our lives. I would guess that if I came up to most of you this morning and said, how are you doing? The answer I would get is, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm doing all right. Jesus did not die on the cross for us to have an okay life or an all right life. He promised us that we would have an abundant life. The way we have an abundant life is information plus application equals transformation. Some people think that information equals transformation, but that's not true. Like, most of us know what to do. Well, most of us are educated way above our level of application. Or we could say it this way, most of us are educated way above our level of obedience. It's not that we don't have the information, it's the application that we have a problem with. How many of you know what not to eat in order to be healthy? He's like, I know what not to eat. How many of you still eat things that are not healthy for you? I received a box of chocolates a couple days ago, and yesterday I opened the box, and I knew when I opened it, like, I shouldn't eat one, and about 10 pieces later, I was like, I knew I shouldn't have eaten one. I mean, I know it's not healthy. I know it wasn't good for my blood sugar. I know all that. It's not the information that I was lacking. It was the application of it. How many of you know in order to be healthy, you need to exercise? How many didn't exercise this week? About the same number of hands almost. It's not that we don't know it. It's not that we don't have the information. It's the application. How many would say, I know all that information, but I still am not as healthy as I should be? And most all of us would raise our hands. Oftentimes we know the information. The problem most of the time is we don't want to do the application. That's the hard part. That's the difficult part. Information plus application equals transformation. And you may be here today, and you would say 2020 was an awful year for my marriage. Like, lockdowns and quarantines didn't do anything to help my marriage. It was already struggling a little bit. And then you coop us up and lock the doors and keep us, like, that didn't do well at all for us. I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is this could be the best year ever in your marriage if you will apply God's word. Here's the bad news. Like, 2021 will be the same or worse if you don't apply the information in God's word to your marriage. And 2020 may have been a year of regrets for you. The good news is 2021 doesn't have to be the same. You may say, you know what, I have a real temper problem, and it came out through 2020 with all the stuff that was going on. The good news is 2021 could be the year to change that. You may have a bad attitude about your life or your family or your job or your circumstances or your church. The good news is 2021 could be the year your bad attitude turns into a Christ-centered attitude. Information plus application equals transformation. Romans chapter 11 is where we're going to start today. And I want to break this down so that we can grasp this formula, that information plus application equals transformation. And so number one, if you're taking notes, is information. If you grew up in a Christian home, most likely you learned two prayers growing up. Two prayers a lot of kids learned while growing up. The first prayer was this: now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray my soul the Lord to take. Scariest prayer ever. Like, dear God, I'm probably going to die tonight. Come get me. That's what you're teaching your kids, right? No wonder the kids are in your bed an hour later. You're just saying. The second prayer a lot of kids learned as they were little was, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Thank you for this daily bread. Amen. Sometimes we'd say that so fast we don't even think about what we're saying. But we'd say that, like, God is great, God is good, and we'd just go on and thank him for the food. But I want to think about that prayer for just a moment that some of you learned at a really, really young age. And truthfully, you probably haven't thought much of it since then. But let's think about this prayer for just a moment. Can we just try to wrap our mind around those two concepts? God is great and God is good. God is great and God is good. What if we really lived as though we believed that information about God? What if we lived as though we applied that information about God, that God is great, that God is good? That no matter what happens today, God is great and God is good. No matter what kind of report we get this week, that God is great and God is good. That no matter how Monday starts out or finishes or Tuesday happens or what report we get on Wednesday or who says what to us on Thursday, that God is great and that God is good. If those were the only two things we knew about God, it would be enough. That God is all-powerful, that God is great, that God is full of love, that God is good. That would change the way we face the week. That God is great, God is good. Like, get out of my way because that's all I need to know. No matter what happens, God is great and God is good. If God was great but he were not good, we should fear for our lives. If God were good, but he were not great, he would not be worthy of our worship. But God is great. He is all powerful and God is good. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. It's important as we look into these verses that we remember it was written to church people. It was written to the church people in Rome. And Paul gives us some information about God as he concludes this section of Romans at the end of chapter 11. And he says this in verse 33. He says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Right there, he just said, God is smarter than I am. God is smarter than you are. God is smarter than we are. God is great. God is smarter than us. And then he goes on, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. In other words, there are some things we don't understand about God and we can't understand them because God is great. God is so much greater and mightier than we are that we can't ever understand them. And then in verse 34, he says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Paul just basically said, like, God is great. That means if God is greater than us, his plans are greater than our plans. That his hopes are greater than our hopes. The word is greater than our feelings. And times when we think God is not right in this particular area or that particular area, at times where we think that God has messed up, God needs to be culturally relevant because, like, this is 2021 and we don't think that way anymore. Let me tell you something about God. God is not culturally relevant. He is eternal. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He is greater than any cultural icon or reference that we know. What I know about me and what I know about you is we're not great. Like, the older I get, the more I realize, like, I'm breaking down. Like, I used to think I was great. I mean, I could play basketball all day. I could run and do whatever all day. And I mean, I would just keep going. I catch myself now moaning or sighing just sitting down. I'll sit down and a noise will come out of my mouth. I'm like, where did that come from? I didn't plan on doing that. I'll stand up and something else will come out of my mouth. And I'm like, I think my dad just stepped in the room because that's what he used to do. And if you're over 40, you can't do the things you used to do. And getting old proves to us that we're not great. A couple of us were doing some work last week on the platform and stuff. And the next day I woke up and, like, my whole backside was as sore as anything just from, I don't even know what we were doing that made it that way for 3 days. Like, I was sore. And I realized, like, I'm breaking down. It reminds me of the old couple. They were going to bed and the old lady says, like, my back hurts and my legs hurt. And she's just complaining about all her aches and pains. And her husband pipes up and says, I don't know what you're complaining about. I feel like a brand new baby. And she looks at him and says, yeah, right. I don't even know what you're talking about because I know you ache. And he says, I've got no hair. I've got no teeth. And I think I just wet the bed. I mean, right? Like, we're breaking down. Nobody here would say we're great. But Paul says that God is great. Paul not only said God is great, but he goes on to say in verse 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. In other words, Paul just said God is good. God is great, but God is also good. But here's the problem. Many of us would say, well, I'm good. I talk to people all the time and they would say, like, God is good and I'm a good. I'm a good person. Like, I'm good. Did you know that you're not that good? I'm not trying to depress you. I'm not trying to belittle you, but we're not that good. Think about this. We see people and we look at somebody else and we compare ourselves to them and we'll say, I'm really good compared to them. I mean, if we're not careful, we judge people and say, I've been going to church for a while. They don't go to church. Or we'll say, they take God's name in vain. I don't do that. I mean, I'm better than they are. I'm a pretty good person compared to them. Or they lie all the time. I just lie sometimes. Or they're cheating on their spouse. I've never done that. I've never even thought about doing that. Or I know that person, like, they killed somebody. Like, they killed somebody. I'm a pretty good person. And yet, we could make a really strong argument this morning that every one of us here has probably broken most all of the Ten Commandments. Every one of us. Like, first commandment, don't have any other gods before me. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've put things in front of God that should have never been there. I've made things more important than God in my life. Or number two, don't make any idols. I mean, I don't know about you, but I could make a whole list of things that from time to time become idols in my heart. Like, my pride often becomes an idol in my life or various things. Or number three, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Or number four, honor the Sabbath day. That isn't saying that from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, like some believe, like that's the Sabbath day, and so you don't do anything except for something spiritual. But what it does mean is, like, in our day and culture, there ought to be a designated day in our life where we rest. It's a day of rest where we focus on God and good things. I mean, we get so busy in our life that there is no time for that. We just run from one thing to another. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of people, even in church, that can't even set aside an hour and 15 minutes anymore to focus on God because we're so busy with everything else. I'd say we blown that one, honor the Sabbath day, or honor your father and mother. I mean, I tried to honor my father and mother, but I also was a teenager at once. And there's still times where my father frustrates me. I mean, I try to honor, but I've broken that one. Or we get to the sixth one, like, you shall not murder. And most of us say, whew, all right, that one I know I have not done. And yet Jesus said, if you have hatred in your heart for someone, it's the same as murdering them. Or don't commit adultery. No, I've never done that. I've never cheated on my spouse. And Jesus said, if you have lust in your heart, it's the same as committing adultery already in your heart. And we're not doing too well on this list, are we? Or how about don't steal? I've stolen before. Or don't lie. I've lied before. Don't covet. Yes, I've coveted something that wasn't mine. I mean, that's the Ten Commandments. And I look at that and say, I think I've broken every single one of those. And the truth is, probably most of us have broken most every one of those. We're not good. So is there any hope for us? And that's the great news about God's word, is we can see person after person after person after person who did bad things, who was not good, and yet God used them, and God turned their life around, and God made something of them, and God put them in scripture so that we could learn from them. I mean, you look at someone like Moses, who was a murderer, and God turned his life around. You look at somebody like David, who cheated, who was had an affair, who killed somebody, who lied. I mean, you look at him, and yet God says he was a person after his own heart. You look at Paul, and he was a murderer. He went around killing Christians, and yet God turned his life around. You look at prostitutes through Scripture that God used in mighty ways. I mean, all through Scripture, we find people that weren't good, that needed God's mercy and grace in their life. And you and I need God's mercy as much as any other person that we can think of. Whether you were born in a church or born in a bar, we all need the same amount of mercy and grace from God. The reason we have the mercy of God is not because we are great, but because God is great and He is good. Amen. Do you know that God is so good that He doesn't want anything bad for us? If we can wrap our minds around the information that God is great and that He is good, He will understand that what God wants for our lives is greater than what we want for our own life. No one has ever had any regrets in their life because they completely surrendered their life to what God wanted. All of my regrets, every single regret I have in my life came as a result of me going against what God wanted. Every single one of them. So with the information that no matter what I think, no matter what I run into, no matter how I feel, I'm going to trust God is and what God says because God is great and God is good. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through right now. I don't understand what God's trying to show me right now. I don't understand why this is happening in my family. I don't understand the purpose of this, but I know that God is great and God is good. That's the information. Amen. Leads us to the second thing, application. And this is where change takes place. Just knowing that God is great and God is good doesn't really change anything. But application does. Paul goes on to say in the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 1, he says this, I appeal, like I beg you, I beseech you, I strongly encourage you, I plead with you, therefore, brothers. Remember, this was written to Christians. That's why he says brothers. He's saying those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm writing to church people. Remember this. Remember, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Now, I've said this before, and I'll probably say it every time we find this word in Scripture, but anytime you have the word therefore, you always go back to see what it was there for. So he gets to this point. They flip over this whole new chapter 12. Like I said, the first section was 1 through 11 in Romans, and you can read through it. And he's saying, I appeal to you, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, because of what we've just talked about, because of everything I've just told you, And if you go back, to put it in a quick nutshell, what you find is because we were born sinners, because we were born in sin, because you were born without hope apart from God, because you understand that you need forgiveness, because you need Jesus Christ in your life, because you've given your life to Jesus, because you have received God's mercy and grace, in view of God's mercy and grace, I appeal to you, I beg you, I beseech you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And some of you may have a translation that says holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now there's two words in that verse that every time I read it, it always causes me to pause for a minute. Living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? I mean, think about that, a living sacrifice. Every time you read about a sacrifice in Scripture, they either kill it or they burn it. He's not saying a dead sacrifice. He's not saying a burning sacrifice. He says a living sacrifice. I mean, we all understand the concept of sacrifice. We make sacrifices with our kids. There are times we may sacrifice for somebody else. There may be times where we give sacrificially to be able to help a greater cause. We understand the word sacrifice, but what is a living sacrifice? Nowhere else in Scripture do you see these two words together, living sacrifice. We see the word sacrifice all throughout Scripture, but this is the only place you see these words together. And there's an important concept when it comes to the Bible that is a great concept to keep in mind as you're reading God's Word. And it's this, if you read something that you don't understand, like don't get all caught up. Don't like throw in the towel and give up and say, I just don't understand it. Just keep reading. And what you'll find is oftentimes when you just keep reading, the next verse or two will define that or tell us about it. Or sometimes it's the next couple chapters will come back and reference that. Sometimes, though, like it isn't in the next couple verses. It's not in the next chapter. Sometimes over the next few days or weeks or months or even years, God will reveal that to us and bring it back to our mind. But if we keep reading, Paul in this passage tells us what he means by living sacrifice. So if you don't understand, just keep going. Verse number 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The way that we as followers of Christ become living sacrifices is we learn how to renew our mind. We learn how to change our mind. We learn how to change our thinking, because when we see who God is and when we see what God says, we are more likely to submit to Him. Those who are listening today that don't have a relationship with Jesus, the reason is because you don't know Jesus. Like if you understood who Jesus was, if you understood what Jesus did for you, if you understand how good Jesus is, if you understood how great Jesus was, it wouldn't even be an issue. You would just surrender to Jesus because you would understand how great He is and how good He is and how He wants you and loves you and accepts you and forgives you. You'd understand about His grace. We would never submit our life to a stranger. But when we get to know God and His greatness, and we get to see God and His goodness, all we want to do is apply as much of God's Word to our life as possible. The more we grow spiritually, the more we want to give God spiritually. Because with consistent application, there will be eventual transformation. That is what this is all about. That's what this is all about. God will change your mind. God will continue to renew your mind. And Paul said God's Word will change our minds and renew them. I mean, when I became a Christian, my thinking was messed up because I was conformed to this world. I was used to living a certain way. I had my own ideas. I had to renew my thinking. I've had to continually over the years change the way I think. It wasn't, hey, God, I think you're wrong on these issues. I mean, maybe that's what I used to think, but God, I think you're wrong where the Bible says this, and God, this is like 2021, and I think you need to catch up with the times because socially and culturally, I mean, we just don't think that way anymore. And hey, God, it's okay for me to go off on them and lose my temper because that's just the way I was created, but I realized I have to change my thinking. I have to renew my mind to what God wants. In 2004, Denise and I moved into the house we live in now. We moved to Delaware. It's the longest I've ever lived in one place in my life. Before that, we lived in a house in Loveland, Ohio. It was the first home we bought and lived in together. And so it was kind of a special home. And a couple years ago, we were near the area and I wanted to go past our previous house. I wanted to show my kids where we came from because they were pretty little when we moved here. And so I wanted to, and as I pulled up to the front, like there was a part of me that wanted to go in there. Like I wanted to go in and see if they had changed anything. I wanted to see how they had things set up. I wanted to see what had broken down or needed repaired since we left. But the truth is, no matter how much I wanted to go in there, I couldn't go in there. That would have been a little weird, right? That would have been a little weird. Like, I can do things in my house that I can't do anywhere else, even the place I used to live. I mean, imagine if we were to go back into that previous house and I was to walk in and I was to change into some comfy clothes and I was to grab a bottle of water and go open up the fridge and pull out some stuff to make a sandwich and then start watching the ball game. No one would think that was normal. As a matter of fact, the police would be called on me because there was a stranger in the house. As followers of Jesus, we can apply that to our spiritual lives. Like, I used to be able to go there. I used to be able to go in there, but I don't live that way anymore. And because I don't live there anymore, I can't go in there anymore. I can't do what I used to do in there because even though I used to live there, I now live somewhere else. I have a higher calling. I have a greater purpose. I now have a new location and I need to go to that house because that is where I live now. Amen. And before we came to Christ, we lived according to the world. And when it came to money, or when it came to sex, or when it came to getting high or getting drunk, or when it came to marriage, or when it came to dating, or when it came to the language and our communication that we use, when it came to our temper, or living for myself, we used to live a certain way. But when we turned our lives over to Jesus, we don't live there anymore. I don't go there anymore. I don't do those things anymore. And I'm not saying I don't have feelings or desires. I'm saying I don't live there anymore. One of the greatest lies that you have ever heard is that once you become a Christ follower, that all your ungodly feelings go away. I have ungodly feelings most every single day of my life. You have ungodly feelings when you get into traffic, if you're like me. Like this week, I got into traffic and somebody cut me off again. I mean, like, I swear I have like something on my car that says, please get in front of me and cut me off. And I had ungodly feelings. I didn't say, praise the Lord, I love Jesus and I love that person. No, I probably said something like, that fool just cut me off. I mean, that's probably the way I said it. We're going to have ungodly desires. But when we do, we simply have to learn to say, I don't live there anymore. I used to live that way. I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. I don't live there anymore. I used to talk to my spouse that way, but I don't live there anymore. Yeah, but you don't understand. Like she is, you don't even understand. The key is continual application of God's word. I've talked to people who say, I tried making God first in my finances. Like I tried it for a week or two and it didn't work. Let me ask you something. If you applied sunscreen one time, would you still get burnt? Yeah, every time. You have to keep applying it to see results. I've heard girls say the trash gets taken out way at my campus more than any Christian girl does. First of all, the only place the trash gets taken out is the dump. And you are worthy of way more than a trip to the dump. You continually apply God's word and hold out for a man of God. It may seem hard right now, but I promise you it will save you a whole lot of pain if you continue to apply God's word. Amen. I would rather be alone now than get married and be lonely for the rest of my life because I married the person that God didn't want for me. I will continually apply God's word in my life. That will ultimately bring about transformation in my life if I will continually say, God is great and God is good. And I know that I'm going through a difficult time right now, but God is great. God is good. I'm going to keep applying God's word to my life. And when it comes to sin, I don't live there anymore. I have learned to say, God's plan is greater than my plans. God's purpose is greater than my purpose. And God is much wiser than I am, and he is greater than I am. And even though I'm not feeling it right now, because God is great and because God is good, I'm going to continue to apply what God's word says to my life because I'm looking for transformation in my life. I'm not looking to be normal. I'm not looking to be the same. I'm looking to be different. And Paul says that. He said if we would just learn to see what God sees, we are more likely to do what God says. And when we do what God says on a continual basis, that is when transformation will come in our life. What if every man that is married said, for the next 6 months, I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved the church? It would change everything. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. Like, I married crazy. You may have married crazy, and I'm sorry about that. But listen, but here's what you need to know. Like, if you continue to apply what God's word says, it'll change. It'll transform things. Amen. And it may not change the crazy, but it will change your mind and your heart and your being. Amen. What if every wife says, I'm going to respect my husband? Well, when my husband starts earning my respect, I'll start respecting him. That's not what God's word says. That is not what Paul said in Ephesians 5. If we had men loving their wives as Christ loved the church and applying that even when they didn't feel like it, and if we had women, wives respecting their husbands and applying it even when they don't feel like it, it would change this church and impact our community. Because information plus application equals transformation. What if we just decided we're going to live generously? We're going to live the way God showed us to live. We're going to live a generous life. I mean, you pick whatever category you want that you're applying to your life. You say, I'm not sure I want to do that, but I sure would like to live in a world that's done, which shows us all the change we probably need to make. Here's number three, transformation. Every one of us probably has something that we would love to change about our life. I know, I would. And Jesus said, like, I'll give you abundant life. God says, I'll give you more than you could even think or imagine. That starts with taking information that God is great and God is good no matter what we're going through, no matter what circumstances we're facing, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what bad report we get, that God's plans are greater than my plans and God wants greater things for my life. And then continually applying God's word in my life, even when I don't feel like it, that we will understand the facts in God's words are greater than the feelings in my life. That we will understand the facts of God's words are greater than my feelings. It's not that I don't feel like I don't want to go over there, but I don't live there anymore. And as I apply those facts to my life over a consistent period of time, it will completely transform your life. Because the Apostle Paul says this in verse 2, that by testing, that's the information plus application. That's the even when I don't feel like it, that's even in the hard times, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. One of the most asked questions that I get is, how do I know the will of God? And really, it's quite simple. You understand that God is great, that God is good, that he's above all, that he has your best intentions in mind. You continually apply his word to your life. You allow him to change your life in his time. The Bible says if we will do what God says, then we will know God's will for our life. It really is that simple. He will completely transform us. We will begin to think as He thinks. We will begin to respond as He would respond. And in closing, I want to tell you, I haven't always liked what God told me. I haven't always understood what He was trying to tell me to do. I haven't always agreed with the direction He wanted to go with my life. But in His time, He makes everything right, and He makes everything beautiful. Several years ago, I was in Atlanta with a group of guys. We didn't know each other very well. We were all from the Columbus area, and we'd gone down there for a conference, seminar, some kind of training thing. And so we were down there, and we had one free night, and we decided instead of just like sitting in our hotel rooms by ourselves, like, let's go together and go down to a Braves game. And so we were about 45 minutes away from the stadium, and traffic was crazy. If you know anything about Atlanta, it's one of those places you can sit on the highway for 20 minutes, like at a standstill, and then all of a sudden it opens up and you're going like 90 miles per hour. And so that's what's happened. Like, we're headed in there at 5-6 at night when traffic is really bad. And sometimes I can be a little controlling. And so I wasn't driving like this guy that said he kind of knew his way, decided he would drive us. And so I had my phone GPS out. Like, I was going to make sure this guy got us there right. And so I'm like in the back seat and I'm watching, and this guy starts taking ways that wasn't in my plan. It wasn't the way that my GPS said to go. And so, like, I'm wondering, and all of a sudden, like, he's driving sporadically and he's driving crazy. And then he goes on these back alleyways and bad streets and bad neighborhoods with all these crazy drivers. I mean, like, we almost sideswiped a couple people. And I'm sitting there, like, almost panicking because he's off the road. He's off the plan that I had in front of me. And he's driving into these crazy neighborhoods. I mean, I'm, like, in the process of texting home to say, I may not make it back. And if I don't, I love you. I just want you to know that. But we finally got to our destination. A totally different way than I would have gone based upon the plan that I had. Walking with God is a lot like that. Sometimes He takes me a different route. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes I don't understand any of it. Sometimes I've traveled through difficult circumstances. Sometimes I wanted to argue. Sometimes I have argued. But He has always gotten me where I need to be exactly when I needed to be there. And the same God who has done it with me will do it for you. He will get you where you need to go. It all starts with information about God. Then I'm going to continually apply what He says, even when I don't feel like it. And then over time, He will change me into the person that I need to be. And He'll change you into the man you need to be. He'll change you into the woman that you need to be. That is the one thing that changes everything. It will change marriages. It will change relationships. It will change finances. It will change lives. It'll change Delaware. It'll change Ohio. It'll change the U.S. It'll change the world. Eventually, it happens if we just say, God, here I am. God, here I am. Show me what I need to apply to my life.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.